Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and it's so great to have you along with us for this broadcast. And I'm really honored. I think this is one of those segments where I got to say that I'm honored and I feel blessed that these folks have agreed to come into the studio this morning and share their story. And with us this morning, we've got Matt Caron and his wife, Amanda Caron. And if you say, boy, that one of those names sounds familiar, or they both both might sound familiar. Matt is a reporter for 15 years on television news and does a great job right now over at Fox 61. And Amanda, you are a school teacher. And you will talk about that and where you teach. But what we're going to talk about today is that both Matt and Amanda have agreed to share their story about their son, Landon. So thank you. Thank you both for being here. And I know this is the first time you've really talked publicly about it. And what brought it to my attention was I follow you guys on Facebook.
Right.
And recently there was a picture of Landon, who's 3 years old. And Matt, you were holding him up over the water, and the emotion that that moment, that video brought to my heart is what we want to talk about today. Yeah, so sure. Let's have you start and talk about Landon.
Sure. Landon is 3. He'll be 3 and a half. He is the light of our lives. He's the happiest boy you'll ever meet when he wakes up in the morning. He is just full of laughter and positive energy, and he loves rainbows, and he loves to just run and crash and play and snuggle. And there's no better snuggler than Landon. He's just been so wonderful. So when we started to see some issues with his speech and other things that were progressing, we definitely wanted to dive in deeper and give him the help and support that he needed, because he's just such a wonderful kid. We love him.
What has he been diagnosed with, Matt?
So he's been diagnosed with autism, and you know, it's regressive autism, which is a subset of autism, which basically means that, you know, Landon was, he was developing like any other normal child up until probably about age 16 months. And then almost seemingly overnight, it was very strange. A lot of the skills that he had learned just kind of went away. I remember Landon and I, before I went to work every morning, I'd stand with him at the door and he'd say bye to me, you know, and I would say, Landon, what sound does a dinosaur make? He'd go, rawr. I'd say, Landon, what sound does Dada's car make? He'd go, vroom. And he would always say hi to people wherever he went. That was his favorite word. Hi, hi, hi. We have videos of it. They're so cute. And then one morning, he just didn't do those things anymore. And you kind of started to see Landon retreat socially inside himself. And that was kind of the first indicator that, okay, something wasn't right here.
Yeah, I think we always were kind of concerned about his speech, just because he hadn't made as many words as we wanted him to hear. And then once things started to go away, then we got even more concerned. He also went to the hospital. He had croup that January of that year. And so we thought maybe it was correlated to that. Maybe he had a regression because he was sick and it was traumatic for him to be in the hospital and all of those things happened. And, you know, it can happen.
Sure.
But then when we didn't see those skills return, you know, he used to be able to point to his head and his eyes and his nose and all of his body parts. And that stopped, and then the highs stopped, and the language stopped. And so we reached out to Birth to Three, and that's where we went from there to figure out what was going on and how we could help him.
So you folks live in Weathersfield, and you know, and I remember as well, you know, from social media when Landon was born and the family's around and, you know, you're celebrating and you're having milestones. And then this happens to you.
Yeah.
Or does it happen for you? Yeah, you know, that's one of those.
Yeah. So it's a really good point, Anne, and thank you for bringing that up. I mean, there's this saying that if you've met one person with autism, you've mm-hmm. met one person with autism. It is such a broad spectrum.
Right.
And I think that society in general these days, this is no secret, is super into labels, right?
Yeah.
So you label someone autistic, okay? It's basically just a diagnosis that some insurance bean counter needs somewhere to make sure that your kid is able to get the services that he or she needs. People are into labels like, oh, you know, disease, disability, you know, disorder. If you meet Landon, there's nothing diseased or disorderly about
him.
He
looks like everybody else's kid. He's a normal.
He's a boy.
He's a boy.
Kid.
He's a little boy that's running around, but yet he's been impacted.
He's just going to need more help along the way. And, you know, I think it's our job as parents to advocate for our kids in every way possible. And that's whether they have autism or not. You mm-hmm. always advocate for
Absolutely.
Your children. But I think, and maybe Amanda can speak to this more, I mean, autism often exists in a vacuum of silence because kids are often nonverbal.
So is Landon verbal?
He's not.
Not
right
yet.
Now.
We're still working with him, you know, on his speech. He's babbling up
uh-huh.
a storm.
Uh-huh.
We know it's going to come, but he's also using an iPad. He's using sign language and other gestures. But right now, no, he's not very verbal. But it will come. But I know for so many children, it doesn't come. So that's a huge part of it, is just having autistic kids be able to really communicate for themselves and be able to advocate for themselves. And how do we give them those tools maybe in a different way? Or how does it become more accepting for you to see a kid at the grocery store with an iPad in their hand? You know, how does that become more normal and more mainstream?
And not be critical of it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I have a step-grandson, I guess we'll call him that, with autism, you know, and it was diagnosed when he was in first grade. And it was, and his mom is a teacher. And she works in that space, right? Helping kids. So it was more acting out, you know, and violence, if you want to call it that. I mean,
sure.
That's what it was.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, when a kid does $800 of damage in a classroom in first grade, there's a problem,
yes.
right? And then everyone wants to throw medication at
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
So, and you got to take, I believe, each child, like any child, is different. Right, you can't just medicate the disease or the diagnosis out of anybody.
Right.
So, you know, I applaud you guys for getting the resources. And how hard or how easy was it to tap into resources for Landon?
I felt like it was easy. We called Birth to Three. They scheduled an assessment, so they came within maybe a week or two of that. And then I think services started for him 3 weeks later. And then we were regularly seeing them 3 times a week. And then it also helped me, you know, sign him up for speech services outside of Birth to Three. And then this past year, we started OT as well.
Occupational therapy.
Yeah. So how do you guys do this? You've also got Wyatt, who's a year and a half, right?
Right.
So Landon has a little brother. How do you do it? I mean, you know, Matt, I know your life, you know, as a reporter with Fox 61. You know, you're out there every day. You know, you think you're going to be home at 5, but you got to do a live shot. And, you know, it's a tough job. You're a teacher. That's also a full-time job. I mean, how are you two coping? And I know you've got great family support. I see
yes,
it.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. So thank you for asking the question.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to do this without Amanda.
Yeah.
She's my partner in parenting. She's my partner in life. And she's an amazing, amazing mother. And, you know, you're right. It does take a lot. I mean, to be honest with you, I'll share something personal about myself. I was not gung-ho on having kids. You know, I'm an only child. Amanda's an only child, and you know, I was perfectly content to just, you know, be married and go on vacations and spontaneously plan things whenever we wanted and go on trips. And I knew Amanda as a teacher, she loved kids, she wanted to have kids, and I was kind of apathetic about it. So I knew it was important to her. I said, okay, let's do it. You know, let's take the plunge. It's the best decision that I have ever made, despite the diagnosis, despite everything. I mean, you know, I love being a dad, and your whole world and perspective on life changes when you reach that parenting stage. Uh-huh. Your priorities change, the way that you look at the world changes, and I think it's a really, really beautiful thing. Can we go? Can we be spontaneous and go on trips like we used to?
Who can?
No. It doesn't take an hour to get out of the house sometimes, right, just to go to the store. Yeah, but you have to kind of enjoy those little moments, you know, like we go to Sam's Club, Amanda and I, and we go with Landon, and he likes to get ices.
Okay.
So that's like our tradition. We go, we get ices, and we share it, and it's just a cute thing. It sounds silly, but it's being parents is really awesome.
I gotta ask you, and again, we're talking with Amanda and Matt Caron, and we're talking about 3-year-old Landon, who is autistic. When you knew something was wrong,
right,
when you got the actual diagnosis and you heard from the professionals, what was the emotion that came with that?
So I think for me, it wasn't the diagnosis itself. It was prior to that, the first evaluation. Because as a teacher, I felt like I knew a little bit more about early childhood. However, I've never really worked with toddlers, and I've never really worked with babies, you know? So not knowing what an autistic toddler or baby would look like, I really didn't have any clue. So to see the first evaluation when they came in, they spent probably 2 to 3 hours just working with him, and he wasn't engaging, and he wasn't doing the things they wanted him to do. And that for me, I was also very pregnant, so take that with a grain of salt.
Okay.
At the time. Uh-huh. But that was the crusher for me. I couldn't believe just how little I knew about, you know, normal toddler development, how he should have been playing, how he should have been
engaging.
Because
it was your first child.
Right, because you just don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't read that in the book. Right.
He was our COVID baby. We were home, you know, doing a lot of things just alone with ourselves. And that's when the blame game can kind of start for yourself, you know, and you can feel like it was your fault, or that you didn't see this, or maybe you didn't do this or do that. So really, coming full circle a year later with the autism diagnosis, it wasn't as emotional for me as it was that day.
Okay.
When they walked in, I didn't know who they were, and they worked with my kid, and I knew it didn't go well. That was awful to see, you know. That was the first start of like the grief of like, okay, something is very wrong, and we need to now figure out what it is and how do we help him.
Yeah.
So I feel like coming full circle from that, the autism diagnosis was just, you know, a check off the box. It was just a label to give him more.
The diagnosis, I thought, was almost like a weight had been lifted in some sense.
Right.
Because you knew that, you know, you weren't crazy with what you were seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And you also knew, okay, this is the challenge that's in front of us. Now we need to move forward. Now we need to figure out how can we help him.
Right.
You know, and you can go down a lot of rabbit holes.
Yep.
You can go down the shame and blame game for days. And sure, we did that. Was there something we did, we didn't do? Was he exposed to something? Was it a medication? Was it this? Was it that? Was it, you know, who cares? Who cares? He was diagnosed. I think the general consensus is that autism develops a combination of genetic and environmental factors. Maybe one day we'll know more specifically how this happens.
But isn't it unusual though that, you know, he was, you know, hitting all the milestones, you know, prior to that day when you noticed a change in him?
He was and he wasn't.
Okay.
So I think now that we see Wyatt, right, we see him.
Yes.
He's at the
you
similar
have something
age.
To compare it to.
Right. He's at the similar age now that Landon was when things we thought were developing normally. There's a lot of nonverbal gestures and things that Landon was not doing that Wyatt is doing very naturally. He's looking into books and he's pointing to animals. He's pointing up to the sky at a plane. He's waving and clapping and he's doing all kinds of things. He's blowing kisses. There's just things that were very subtle that you would miss if you weren't looking for them, that Wyatt just does very naturally, that Landon never did. He may have had a few words and he may have had a few things, but we missed a lot of those like pre-language skills that Wyatt is just developing naturally. So it's interesting how things can just, you think things are going well. And yes, he did lose those skills. But there were other ones that he needed that were a little more important.
I just want to say one thing.
Sure.
You know, in addition to what Amanda said, he did lose skills, but autism also gives you special abilities in a lot of different ways. You know, Landon, I want to crawl inside of his brain and just live in it for 10 minutes just to see what he sees, how he views things. You can tell when he looks at things, he looks at them differently than you and I do. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I may look at a picture and we see the whole picture. You know, we see the whole painting, whatever it is. He'll look at the eye or the dot or the grain of sand or the drop of water. He's so myopic and detail-oriented, and that manifests into so much creativity.
Yes.
Landon loves rainbows. You know, he loves lining, he loves creating rainbows, lining things up in rainbow order. He loves patterns and shapes. And
it's not just like just throwing them on the floor. Like, he is very specific about how the item is turned.
Very strategic.
What angle it's at. Sometimes it's at a half circle and you just look at it and you're like, how did he do that?
Mm-hmm.
How does he know the spacing?
I think
to
he's
going to
be an architect one
day. Well, you
day.
Know, and that's the thing I see in my grandson, you know, just this, just so focused.
Yes.
And so, you know, smart,
yes.
You know, in so many ways that, you know, maybe in this case, Landon can't verbalize things, but in his mind, he can do it.
Yes.
So
and
who
loving.
Knows? And loving it.
And loving, because there's this sort of stigma, you know, among society that if you have an autistic child, they're not loving. They're not able to empathize. Now, granted, autism is a big spectrum. I'm sure that there are, you know, kids who have a lot of challenges with that. But think about how you would be if you weren't able to communicate your needs, if you weren't able to speak, you know. You'd get angry, too. Your main emotion would be anger, and that could manifest itself in a lot of different ways, which is why you need to develop those other forms of communication, sign language, PECs, picture
AAC,
communication, you know.
Are you guys learning sign language?
Well, through Burst of Three, we learned some different signs. And
you got to watch Miss Rachel.
Yeah,
do you watch Miss Rachel?
We've put on Miss Rachel.
Doses.
But yeah, in small doses.
Yeah, I have a 1.5-year-old grandson in Texas, and I'm out there visiting, and he knows sign language.
Yes.
You know, like more and, you know, all done. And,
yep.
And it's amazing, you know, what kids can learn. So what is the prognosis? Where are you guys at today? Where are you at with Landon? Where are you at with life?
Well, the thing is with Landon, we still have not seen a developmental pediatrician. We are on a 2-year wait list.
Wait.
It's a big problem.
It's a humongous problem. So I called over the summer just to check in and be like, are we still on this list? And they said, oh yeah, you've been on the list from April of 2023. We'll see you in April of 2025. Give us a call like end of March. And maybe we'll be able to get you in a little bit earlier.
And he'll be 5 years old then? By the time he can be seen by a behavioral physician?
So he'll be almost 4.
Almost 4.
But yes, it's a 2-year wait list for CCMC.
There's a very serious staffing shortage when it comes to developmental pediatricians. And early intervention is so important to helping these kids. So really a 2-3-year wait list is completely unacceptable.
And so you're really relying on Birth to Three to diagnose them, because without that diagnosis, we would never get the special education services. We'd never get any of that. Insurance would laugh, you know. And so we haven't even seen that developmental pediatrician to know what level of autism is he at. I know they're kind of doing away with levels because it is such a spectrum and it's all over the place, but at least gives you, you know, a picture of maybe the next few years or the future.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head, and I'm sure people listening are too. I mean, imagine you're diagnosed with cancer and you got to wait a year or two to get in to see the doctor.
Right.
I mean, what's the difference? And I can't imagine as a parent, you know, what else can you do?
And that's what's frustrating is that, you know, you might find a doctor that has an opening, but that's probably not the doctor you want to go see.
Well,
they're just going to give you whatever you want, or they're not going to give you that full outlook that you want.
You want to go to a specialist, and, you know, Connecticut Children's Medical. Have you thought about going somewhere else? flying somewhere, another state, another facility?
We've considered it, you know, but in the meantime, we are really happy with the services okay. he's getting for now, okay. you know, and I mean, I don't need to know what number level autism he's at to know who he is and where we're going with him. But it would be nice to have that outside perspective and to get more evaluations for him and anything we can need, you know.
Right. So again, we're talking with Matt and Amanda Karen, and they have a three-year-old son, Landon, who, what did you say, was what kind of autism?
It's called regressive autism.
Regressive autism, and also have a little guy, Wyatt, who's 1.5. How do those two interact? How are they getting along?
Amanda, take it away.
Here goes Amanda. She's, don't cry.
No, it's not that. Wyatt is our little social butterfly. Uh-huh. So he's, of course, into everything that his brother does. He just loves him, loves to see what he's doing. But he also interrupts that type of play that Landon likes, which is very structured. And when he lines things up, he wants him to stay there.
Yeah.
And Wyatt's like, oh, cool, I'll take that and pick that up. And mm-hmm. so there can be a lot of issues there, you know, when it comes to their different types of play styles. But overall, you know, I think Landon is open to him being in his world. You know, they will jump on the bed and play together, and you know, we'll sit down. Of course, he loves Cocomelon, so we'll sit and watch Cocomelon at night. And
they just high fived each other.
They did high five each other. Sometimes Landon will reach out for his hand. So it's very interesting. I think they need each other in the world. I think Wyatt needs Landon to mm-hmm. teach him empathy and understanding, and Landon needs Wyatt to kind of shake him up a little bit and get him used to that social interaction.
So and I think, Landon is sensory seeking, so he likes touch and pressure,
yeah.
and Wyatt likes to crawl and touch, and so he'll touch Landon's feet sometimes, and Landon loves that. So it's a relationship that they're still developing, but I think ultimately Wyatt's going to be the best thing that ever happened to Landon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I could say one other thing.
Of course. We've got 4 more minutes, and
all
it's
right.
your show.
4 my goodness. It's like about how
it's
long
an eternity,
right? television packages are sometimes. you know, Amanda has talked a lot about, and I mentioned it too, birth to three. For people who don't know, that's a state-funded program. And they come into your home, and they'll help you develop strategies as a family for how to tackle different communication challenges that your child is having. I can't say enough great things about them.
That's good to hear.
We had wonderful therapists and teachers, and just so empathetic and loving, and it was really a great, great experience. One thing that I'll say, it's only funded up to age 3. So when Landon turned 3, he aged out of the program.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
And we lost all those services, you
yes.
know. So there's a, without getting political, I don't want to do any of that, but I'll just say that, you know, I really think it's universally understood that kids who have communication challenges, they need services beyond age 3.
Right. Especially now that they've moved the kindergarten age to 5.
To
exactly. It just makes sense.
A lot of states do have birth to 5, and you know, it would be so beneficial. And just for anyone who may have any concerns about their child, reach out, because you don't even know the exponential difference it makes for them to have birth to 3 when they come to school. There's a big difference between kids who've had that service and kids who haven't, and it just sets them up for more success.
Where can people find that information, Amanda?
The 211 website. You can go right on, or it's b23.org. You can go right on there, and you can either, you know, email them or call them for an evaluation, and they will call you back, and they will set that up.
Well, and I know you don't want to get political, but I think it's also important that people advocate for that. Because like you said, it's just, you know, birth to 3 isn't enough. Right. It's got to go beyond that. And different situations are different, right? If there's a regular child who has developed, you know, normally, I guess you would say, then maybe that's enough. But if there's somebody who has any issues, we all know, and you know as parents, that's not enough. And you don't have the expertise that they have. You need
Correct.
That guidance. You need that professional opinion.
Right.
So
well, and now since he's aged out of birth to 3, we're getting him outside speech, as we mentioned, outside occupational therapy. But now we're dealing with insurance companies, and they're classifying things and labeling things differently than how our providers are. So they're covering some things.
It's been a 6-month battle.
Oh, and it's not. I know.
It's a nightmare.
It's unfortunate, and it's not fair, right? I mean, these are real needs for a real family, a loving family. You're not asking for a handout, you're asking for help.
Right.
And, you know, Landon needs help. And a lot of kids out there, wherever they are on the spectrum or whatever they're suffering from, need resources.
And before we go, if any family out there is dealing with an autism diagnosis, I just want them to know, I think we want them to know that they're not alone. You know, I think that it's really important to know that you have support, you have people around you who care, there's resources out there if you look in the right places, and your journey's going to be unique, but at the end of the day, it's going to be beautiful.
God bless you both for your positive attitude. I mean, really. And for touching my heart.
Oh.
And hopefully you touched the heart of our listeners today. So please give Landon our best and little Wyatt, and keep posting that great stuff, because you are inspiring people, whether you know it or not.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. Matt and Amanda Karen, thank you for being here again and sharing your story. And again, there are resources out there, and we urge you, if you have any issues or any question marks on the development of your child, reach out. That's why those resources are there. So thank you again, and thank you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. I'm Ann Baldwin, and we'll see you back here next time.